أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجر زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك، ولا المعروف من فضلك، ولا مشبه لما عملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطع لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك، وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك، لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما. لكنك تقدست أسماؤك، أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين، من الجنة والناس أجمعين، وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين، وأنت جل ثناؤك. قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما، أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون؟ إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها، أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمت وكل ذنب أذنبت وكل قبيح أسررت وكل جهل عملت، كتمته أو أعلنت، أخفيته أو أظهرت، وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني، وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي، وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم، والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيت، وبفضلك سترت، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت أو إحسان فضلت أو بر نشرت أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفر أو خطأ تستر. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي معصيته يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا وبخدمتك موصولا وأعمالي عندك مقبولا حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب قو على خدمتك جوارحي واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين وأسرع إليك في البارزين وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين وأخافك مخافة الموقنين وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرد ومن كادني فكيد واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك وأقربهم منزلة منك وأخصهم زلفة لديك فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك وجد لي بجودك وعطف علي بمجدك واحفظني برحمتك واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا وقلبي بحبك متيما ومن علي بحسن إجابتك وأقلني عثرتي واغفر زلتي فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك وأمرتهم بدعائك وضمنت لهم الإجابة فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي وبلغني مناي ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا، يا سريع الرضا. اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء، فإنك فعال لما تشاء. يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غنى، ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء. يا سابق النعم، يا دافع النقم، يا نور المستوحشين في الظلم، يا عالما لا يعلم. صل على محمد وآل محمد، وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله. وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله. It's the first night of Sha'ban, the night of Ziyarah for Imam al-Husayn. The month of Sha'ban is the month of the Ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn on the 15th of Sha'ban. People go, they gather in the shrine of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. As-salamu alayka ya madhlum, ayyuha ash-shahid bi Karbala adshana. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Husayn. Ya Abba Abdullah, this is the month of the 12th Imam, the month of your grandson, the Mahdi. Ya Abba Abdullah, if we were not in Karbala for you, we wish to be for your grandson, Imam al-Mahdi. With what I'm doing, I'm sure I'm not qualified to be of his true and close companions. I'm sure I won't be with him, Ya Abba Abdullah. By the right of your lonely moments in Karbala, I don't know how it was those last moments, what you were worried about, what you were singing, when the mal'oon had his foot on your chest, Zainab was watching. I don't know what you had in mind. Were you thinking of Zainab or Ruqayya or Sukayna? Were you thinking of the Ummah? Ya Aba Abdullah, by that moment I ask you, I beg you, I swear to you, please don't allow me to drown in this material realm. Don't allow me to want to be with the kuffar. Don't allow me to sell your grandson for a few more days in this world. يا أبا عبد الله على لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم بالزهراء وأبيها. الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله يا رحمن يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. O Allah, make us the true and close companions of our Imam. O Allah, hasten his return. O Allah, help all those who are helping his cause, especially the ulama, the maraja. More so our leader, Ya Allah, forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. Ya Allah, we all have hajat, we have needs, we have requests. We ask you, by the right of Imam al-Hussein, that you grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their requests. We ask you, by the right of the Imam of our time, that you relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Min Nabi wa Ali, rahimallah, man qara al-Fatihata ma'a salawat. Yeah, the governor's announced any gathering.
Any other social gatherings, they won't even allow.
I mean, they won't penalize, but they've announced it, and we have, because of that, we have canceled the programs as well. Let me shut down the... أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Tonight is the beginning of the month of Sha'ban, the first night, and it falls on a Laylatul Jumu'ah, Thursday night, a night or the eve of Friday. And inshallah, we take that as a sign of extra blessings, inshallah, this year's month of Sha'ban. Although we are in conditions that don't allow us to get together as we would, and that blessing as we have been deprived of, but it is a blessing in itself that we are allowed to do this. One of the things that we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in training His believers, His prophets even, is isolation. Isolation is a method of training Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to train His prophets. Various prophets have gone through this. There's two of them that I can right now think of. Three of them, they're just popping into my mind as I'm speaking. Prophet Yusuf spent time in isolation.
I'll explain a little bit about that. Prophet Musa spent time in isolation. Prophet Yunus spent time in extreme isolation. And each of the other prophets has also had times. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi used to go into the cave for a month or so, an entire month in a cave in isolation. Now, the conditions that the Holy Prophet had, and he was commanded by Allah, instructed and guided directly by Allah to do that individually and to go to the mountain, go to the cave, be in isolation for that long, that was for him as an individual. Just like there's many other rulings that apply to him that don't apply to us, we cannot on our own decide that for spiritual development that we want to go in isolation and now start spending a whole month in some cave somewhere. No, we are not given that. It was specifically for the Holy Prophet. I said that for clarification. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about conditions where believers have no choice but to be in isolation. Now, it doesn't have to be extreme forms of isolation. Like Prophet Yunus, he had an extreme form of isolation where no other human being and not proper, I guess, air, and I don't know what, for how long he was in the belly of the whale. Inside of the whale, I don't know how long that was. Whatever period, whatever extent it was a form of isolation that is not like no other. You don't have access to any people, you don't have access to any, even your own body you don't have full control of. You can't maneuver, you can't move about, you can't decide, okay, I want to get some fresh air. That's very extreme isolation. Allah put him in that particular a condition of that isolation. Prophet Musa, he was in a metropolis, a huge city, one of the largest at the time that the Pharaoh was in. And he was in a condition where he was in the palace, he was raised in the palace, and so on and so forth. In his teens, at some point, we don't know the exact age, it says, لَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ. He went through that test. Someone from Banu Israel, he had a situation with one of the soldiers of the Pharaoh, and he asked for help. Prophet Musa went over there, punched him too hard. He didn't expect to be able to take the guy out in one punch, but that's actually what happened. He repented after that, next day, so on. He left the city. He left towards the Sinai Desert and crossed over somewhere around current day Jordan, is where Mada'in, where Prophet Shu'aib was. He went over there, not in a city, none of the people that he knows are there, lives with a man that later, I mean, he marries his daughter, lives with a few people out there. That's it. This is a form of isolation. It's not as extreme as Prophet Yunus, but it's a form of isolation. He had to be there between 8 to 10 years. 8 to 10 years of being away from all the people you know. Your brother, your relatives, your tribe members, your people, everyone that you know and you care for. Right. He didn't decide, okay, I want to go train. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought about a condition. He could no longer stay in that city. He had to leave. And he ended up in that condition. Prophet Yusuf as well, he didn't choose to be imprisoned. He didn't choose to be sent away from his family. His brothers got jealous of him, put him in the well. He was taken. He had to serve as a slave in a house. Then he was treated in that way. The woman in that house thought to have that affair with him, which he didn't give in, and ended up sending him to the prison for a number of years. I don't know exactly how long he was in prison, in isolation. Isolation is one of the methods that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses for the development of the believers. We have been given this opportunity. Usually, we would make this joke that people here don't really get time to do anything, reading, thinking, because they're so busy with everything. unless they are incarcerated, until they are put in prison. That's why so many prisoners become Muslim, because they don't get time to study until they are put in prison. They're forced to pick up some books and think and read, and then they start becoming Muslim over there. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in a condition where we're not as free to move about. We are told, for the better of all of us and for the best of all of us and all people globally, this is a global matter that we are dealing with, that we try to keep away a lot more than what we used to, and try to not go out, stay in the house, and so on and so forth. We can take this and we can see this as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these months, in the month of Rajab, and now the month of Sha'ban is beginning for us. This is the time where it's become a little more serious, where we're not having any programs even at the center. There are a few things to keep in mind in these conditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're looking at it instead of a condition of fear, a condition of worry, a condition of anxiety. We are now trying to look at it as an opportunity given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to spend a little more time thinking about ourselves, thinking about our future, thinking about our past, thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking about our relationship with Allah, and things of that nature that we need to do. What are some of the things that are best practices, as they say, in conditions of isolation? What are we supposed to do? One of the things that we've got to learn in the process of isolation, in the condition that's been given to us, is patience with being alone, with being with nobody. I don't know how many of us have had a situation where we've experienced this, and for how long we have experienced it. Some have had more of such experiences, some have had less experiences. But based on personal experience and based on a hadith and based on hearing others, it's not an easy condition to deal with. We have hadith that suggests a more intelligent person, a person with a stronger intellect, with a stronger aql, would be someone that loneliness, being alone, being without the company of anyone, does not cause them any wahsha, any fear, any feeling of what am I going to do, and really going nuts, you know, for not being with anyone and no one being there to talk to do things with. You get bored. You just want to keep your busy. One of the things we need to try to do is to break through that. This would be a great opportunity that Allah has given us to try to break through that. How? Don't try to keep yourself busy with whatever you just want to pass time with. This is a common practice, and it is a wrong practice for the most part. I'm not saying it's haram to do this, but as soon as we feel that we're not doing anything, we want to keep ourselves busy, we start going on social media, we start finding something to do, go on the news, television, flip through the channels. These things that we're not really looking for anything, we're just looking for time to go by. I don't want to notice and feel the passing of time or the slow passing of time. It almost kills us to do that. We want to make sure we don't do that. Let's face ourselves. Let's face, not ourselves, face ourselves in the sense of facing ourselves being the slaves, the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to try to break through, if Allah gives us the tawfiq to do so. This is a very difficult thing to do. When we're alone and we don't have anyone else and anything to do, use that. Use that time. Think about ourselves. Don't get too the common practices. Don't start picking things up and doing them just for the heck of it to pass time. So, and then keep looking at the time to see one's bedtime and, you know, going to sleep, hopefully maybe taking even medication to fall asleep, and then waking up in the morning initially fresh, doing a little something, cook. People, I saw some recommendation, people like, yeah, find some hobbies to do, some projects that you've been keeping for this time, and so on and so forth. These are all things. So for people who have trouble with themselves, who have trouble with being alone, who have trouble with doing none of that in their own headspace, in their own minds, in their own thoughts, they can't deal with it. For those, they have to go that way. We've got to try to move away from that in this opportunity that Allah has given us. Move away from that. What to do? You start one prayer. Afterwards, you look at the time. There's still so much time. What do you do next? Another prayer. There's still more time. There's a dhikr. Okay, this many dhikr. Read this. There's still more time. What am I supposed to do? I don't want to give any particular action, any particular deed, any particular dhikr, any particular prayer. All of those are good. It's the month of Sha'ban. It was the month of Rajab. All prayers are good. All dhikr is good. Salawat is great. Tawassul to the Ahlul Bayt is great. Ziyarat Ashura is great. All of these things are great. If you have qadha prayers to make up, that's great. If you have qadha fast to make up, that's great. All these things are great to do. But there's something other than that that needs to happen. And that's tafakkur. Okay? Thought. You have to allow those times to come where you just feel like you can't take it anymore. You want to do something, you have to do something. When those moments kick in, when those times come, that's the moment to think. That's exactly the moment to think. Why am I like this? Who am I? What am I here for? Who is Allah? Is He here? Is He not here? What's my relationship with Him? Then we'll start realizing things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once we start thinking, that process of tafakkur, the process is important. When you engage in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts guiding, giving you things to think about. If we have familiarity with the verses, with ahadith, with stories of prophets, with what they said, with what they did, will realize some things. For example, in that thinking process, one of the thoughts that can, if Allah blesses us, can come to us, is that we are realizing that we are upset at the situation. We are upset that we cannot just go wherever we wanted. We'd like to go to a restaurant and get some food, restaurants are shut down. Want to go sit down for coffee, coffee shops are shut down. Want to go visit someone, social distancing, and no, you can't do that, centers are closed. I can't do this, I can't. I feel upset at the situation. I feel angry at the situation. I realize that I don't like this, the condition that I'm in. Well, in your thought process, what should come to you is that Allah has put you in that condition. It's like Prophet Yunus, that's very extreme. He didn't want to end up in the inside of a well. Prophet Yusuf, I don't know how long he was in the well, not the whale. Prophet Yunus was in the whale for I don't know how long. Prophet Yusuf as a child was put into a well by his brothers, and we don't know how long he was there for. He didn't want to be there. It's not a pleasant thing to be there. What did Prophet Yunus do in the moment when he was put in that condition? He realized he was angry. The Quran says when he left his city, he was angry. Well, initially, or who was he angry at? In the end, the anger is with the conditions, with the circumstances, with the situation that he's in. And who's brought that about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're in that harsh and lonely condition, if you think Allah will guide your thoughts, one of the thoughts that should come to us is that this feeling that I have towards the conditions that I am in is actually shirk. It's actually being displeased and unhappy with a condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put me in. And then when that realization, that understanding comes from the bottom of the heart, the dhikr comes to the Prophet, La ilaha illa an subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. There's no Lord but you. There's no God but you. Subhanak, you were exalted for there to be another God, someone that shares lordness with you. Inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. I have been a zalim all this time. I have seen myself the center, and I have wanted things for myself because of that. Now when I don't see that, I feel unhappy with that. But you are the Lord, you are Allah, you are God. You are the one who owns me, you created me, you gave me everything, you're giving me this. And for me to be unhappy with what you're giving me is a great sin that I need to repent from. One of the arkan, one of the pillars of iman, according to Amir al-Mu'mineen, is ar-ridha biqada'illah. Okay, these conditions can help us move towards a point where we are actually pleased with Allah. The root of the problem for us not being pleased with what God gives us is the nafs, us considering ourselves the center of this. That's a thought process that if we engage in that tafakkur, and we've heard these stories of the prophets, verses of the Quran, we've done dhikr, remembrances of Allah in various forms, when we engage in those thoughts and we ask Allah for guidance, this starts flowing and you start realizing, just like Prophet Yunus, the realization came. La ilaha illa ant. No, I considered myself the center. I'm considering myself a god. I'm considering myself an idol. The urafa have said the greatest idol to break is the idol of the nafs. The nafs needs to be broken. In the process of tafakkur, we can realize, we can come to the realization that we do consider ourselves God, an idol, and we need to break that and break down and cry and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Inshallah, we ask Him to give us that tawfiq. It's the month of Sha'ban, the month of the Ahlul Bayt as well. One of the other things that we can do in this month, regardless of the conditions that we're in generally in the month of Sha'ban, is salawat and munajat. There's a salawat Sha'baniya for around Dhuhr time. If you have a lot more people these days have free time, and they should be able to, right when Dhuhr time comes in, the hadith that exists is not after Dhuhr prayer or after As prayer or after, it's not a ta'qib of the prayer. It says the time and the moment of zawal. Zawal is exactly the Dhuhr prayer time. When that comes in, the first part of that time is actually not dedicated to the wajib prayers. We have a lot of hadith on this. The first portion of the time, about 15-20 minutes at least, of the beginning time of Dhuhr after Zawal, when that occurs, is dedicated to certain other acts like Nafila prayers. In the month of Sha'ban, it's dedicated to this Salawat Sha'baniya. It's a very beautiful Salawat. Try to read the translation, try to understand what you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the bottom line and the gist of it and the essence of it is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the Ahlul Bayt and bless us through them and because of them, and for us to make that connection with them. In Munajat Sha'baniya, inshallah, we'll try to spend some of the coming weeks to share some thoughts related to some of the passages of Munajat Sha'baniya. It's a great Munajat that, according to the account, and ulama have said, all of the Ahlul Bayt used to recite this Munajat. It's not a very lengthy one. It's not like Dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali, and it's not even as long as Dua Kumayli is. It's shorter, but it's not too short. Yet the meanings that are there are very deep, and inshallah we get to read and recite that in the month of Sha'ban. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that He hastens the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in these times and help all believers worldwide. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the ulama, maraja, and especially our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins, to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us our hajat, our needs, our requests, relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses, and we ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa alih, rahimallah, man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat. صلى الله على محمد وعلى